Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Offman's Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Time to go around the NFL. We will breeze through the games for the most part because most of the games yesterday were not really that important or interesting. I mean, some of them were like the Carolina-Atlanta game was actually a great game. And there's some like long-term significance there as Bryce Young just continues to show that, he may not have been dead after all. In fact, I think we very much know that he's not dead or wasn't dead as an NFL quarterback when he got benched earlier this season for Andy Dalton. But there's no actual playoff implications and neither coach is losing his job or anything like that. So, some of these games we'll just kind of hit a few final thoughts for the season. Some of these we'll maybe spend a little more time on because, the game was important, something interesting happened, or the team is either going in a playoff or fired their coach or head coach or maybe didn't, and that's a surprise direction. But we're going to kind of get, I guess, Anthony, the point is we're going to give our final thoughts on every team for the regular season. Along the way, we will use the game as a vehicle to do that. We will also compile all of our final regular season records. I was 5 games up on Anthony on the picks going into the weekend. And with that, around the NFL we go. Ravens started off the weekend with a big win, 35-10. Not only did they beat the Browns, they covered the highest spread in the NFL all season. It got up to 21 points in some places. I think it was 19.5 at kickoff. Won by a cool 25. Obviously, Baltimore is headed to the playoffs. Moment of this game, a defensive tackle, Michael Pierce, with the game-sealing interception, and then immediately went down because he didn't want to become a meme for Leon Lett situation, big guy running and either running out of gas or getting the ball stripped out. Genuinely hilarious. But Lamar, cool, 16 of 32, 217, 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, 138, 2 touchdowns. The Browns started Bailey Zappe because sure. And then we find out today from their general manager, Andrew Berry, that Deshaun Watson had a setback recovering from his Achilles situation already. So who knows what that means. The Browns finished with the number 2 pick. They're a nightmare. Stefanski, I guess, is probably going to keep his job, which I hate that for him because he's a better coach than the Browns. Andrew Berry, I don't even think, is a bad GM. Like, their front office is filled with guys that are going to get and women who are going to get GM looks other places because I think there's a lot of respect there. But the Browns' problem is simple. You can't outrun bad ownership. Their ownership is terrible. And thus, here we are at the end of another lost season where Cleveland Browns fans mostly deserve better.
Yeah, did you also hear what Myles Garrett said?
Oh, he wants out.
Yeah, he sort of kind of wants out too. And Craig, he would look good in some burgundy and gold, baby.
I would give up more than I should for Myles Garrett on this team.
Would you want Myles Garrett more or Micah Parsons?
Micah.
Ooh.
Just purely on age.
Okay, that's fair.
And familiarity. Like Dan Quinn and Joe Witt know Micah. Mm. Myles Garrett, I don't think there's anything bad to know about. Like Myles is considered, I mean, outside of the Mason Rudolph incident, very, very well respected. And frankly, some people I think like him for the Mason Rudolph incident, which we don't need to go any deeper into that. But I think great teammate, been a model citizen in Cleveland in terms of how he's handled being a part of that trash organization. They should trade him because there's no way, there's no timeline where he is at the peak of his powers and worth what he is right now that matches them winning. Just take the draft picks and say you lost and you messed up in the same way that you screwed up Joe Thomas's career and any other Browns player that's been good since the franchise kicked off again. As for the Ravens, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the playoffs. We'll have plenty more time to talk about them. The Bengals, 19-17 winners. Joe Burrow, again, just finding ways, doing things. Steelers, again, finding ways, doing things to not win down the stretch here. Bengals wind up missing the playoffs. They fired their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, today, which I don't love, but I understand. I mean, defensively, they were not good this year. It's the reason they're not in the playoffs. But, you know, Anarumo's a good coach. Do you really think that you're going to find someone better? This feels like a dude who's getting fired because the owner was like, I'm not firing my head coach. You better make some changes or I'm going to change you. And Zach Taylor was like, okay. Hey, Lou, sorry. It is what it is. Now the Bengals enter a fascinating offseason where they have to make a – first, they have to re-sign Ja'Marr Chase, which is now going to be more expensive than it would have been before the season because he can make a legitimate claim that he should get more money than Justin Jefferson because he just won the Triple Crown. Two, they have to decide if they want to also keep T. Higgins, which means you'd have an insane amount of money, cap percentage-wise, tied up in two receivers and your quarterback. And then you have to figure out if you can do all the other stuff you need to with your roster when you haven't been very good at drafting and your quarterback is going to always keep you good enough to not have a top 10 pick. So it's a tough call. I don't know what to do because I also wouldn't want to. Here's the thing I would say, Anthony. I would not want to piss off Joe Burrow.
I mean, I won't want to piss him off either. But it is tough. I mean, I will say this, though. If the Eagles are able to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on relatively big contracts, I think you should try to, make it work.
But here's the thing. The Eagles were smart with it.
They paid
those guys early.
Yep.
Paying early is always
better.
I want to say always because I'm sure there's guys that don't get contracts that you're like, oh, thank God we didn't pay that guy early.
Uh-huh.
Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are not those guys. Joe Burrow, not that guy. Like, I would have paid Joe Burrow the absolute highest paid quarterback contract the second he was eligible. Why? Because when the next guy signs and the next guy signs, the number just goes up.
Up.
And the same thing for Ja'Marr and same thing for T. They were really smart and signed Devontae early, but they're more cash poor in Cincinnati than they are in Philly. And that has allowed Howie Roseman to manage the cap in a very, very proactive way. And the Bengals never do that. The Cowboys are the same way. The Bengals just do the same dumb thing the Cowboys have done with Dak, where they wound up paying him like $15 million more per year after a bad ankle injury. And they did the same thing with CD. And they're doing the same thing right now with Micah because Jerry... And Jerry George, I bought the occupation. I'm not going to be not the general manager of this team. Then, Jerry, you might want to learn how to do some math, bro. Whatever. Panthers and Falcons. There's not a lot to say about this. This was kind of the joke of the game that we used to say that there's not much to say about some of these games. Hell of a football game. Congrats to Carolina. They never gave up on the season. I think that you have to, if you're a Panthers fan, feel pretty good going into this offseason with where Bryce Young is at. Canales showed some things. There was definitely some questions about him. But it seems to be one of these quarterback whisperers and good on him, man. For the Falcons, they have got to get some pass rush. They have got to fix some things defensively. But I think you also probably are a little encouraged, and not a little, you're a lot encouraged by what you have in Michael Penix. You're going to have to see if you can trade Cousins this offseason, if Kirk even wants to keep playing. We'll see how he feels coming out of the offseason or coming out of the season. But definitely a very interesting thing. Or he might just be like, you want to know what? I'm going to take my money and I'll be the backup here. I'm going to help Michael as best I can. And maybe Kirk just moves into that phase of his career. But I definitely think if you're Atlanta, you try to trade Cousins, eat whatever the cap hit is for that, and then see if at least you can redeem some draft picks. So we'll see. You have teams like the Browns who are going to be desperate. How many quarterbacks with bad Achilles can we bring into one room? Because they've also been rumored for Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I heard that one on Get Up today. Like, I think Cleveland should be looking at Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, man, that's a match made in not heaven. But yeah, I think the future is bright for both these teams in a variety of ways. But also, we'll see. Now's the hard part. Can you go from, in Atlanta's case, good to great? And from Carolina's stance, from plucky to like really actually dangerous. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll roll through the rest of these games. Anthony, by the way, how did we do on those three? Browns, Ravens we won, Bengals we won.
You went 2-1, I went 1-2.
Okay, because I took Carolina?
No.
No, I took Cincinnati. You took Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I took the Steelers, yep.
All right. And they had a chance. Anthony needed six games of the final whatever number. I don't think he's going to get it, but stay tuned for more. Anthony, let's ixnay ending tray, and we'll be right back with more thoughts on the end of the regular season for much of the NFL, but not the Commanders next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980, going around the NFL. And let's pick things up with the Bears and Packers, a wild, wacky, stupid football game that made the ending of the Commanders game less meaningful in the long run, because had Terry McLaurin dropped the ball or had they kicked the field goal and gone to overtime and lost, they still would be the sixth seed, because the Packers, who just needed to beat the 10-game losing streak riding Chicago Bears, a team that they had beaten, I believe it was 11 straight times, and the Bears won the football game. The Packers got a weird gift, both in the form of Caleb Williams taking an RPO that should never have been an RPO and throwing it to DJ Moore on a screen. It's the kind of thing that I would do in Madden, which I don't mean as a compliment. It makes me reexamine how I, well, at the end of a Madden game, I'm just stats accumulating, but this is real life. Run the football. And DJ Moore gets hit. It should have been an incompletion. Instead, they call it a fumble. Packers get it, go down. They manage the clock terribly, give the ball back to Chicago. Chicago winds up taking advantage, hitting a game-winning field goal. Just Packers fans, at least they can rest easy with the idea that that did not cost them the sixth seed, because Mariota and McLaurin did what they did. That's about all they got going for them.
Yeah, I was watching the end of this game, too. We were actually watching the games side by side, because my best friend, he's a Packers fan as well. We're at the Colts game watching the Commanders and Packers game.
That's
and I'm like, how much time is left? He's like, it's 36 seconds. I'm like, how much time left is over here? It's 6 seconds left. I'm like, oh, okay. It was crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure the witching hour was probably crazy as hell yesterday. Crazy.
Oh, it was. It was. And I had that on the iPad sitting next to me with the Commanders on the big screen TV. And like, and it sucked because the red zone was actually ahead of the Commanders TV. Oh. So I looked over and I was like, ooh, that's good. Oh, that's bad. That's good. That's bad. Wait, which game am I? It was nuts. As for Chicago, I think tomorrow, maybe, Anthony, we should rank all the head coach openings. I'll tell you right now, Chicago's going to be pretty high on my list because of some other stuff with some of these other jobs. But they head into their offseason with a win, which is good for whatever. 5-12 in Caleb Williams' rookie year. That's, by the way, also their first road win of the year in Week 18. Texans 23, Titans 14. There's literally nothing to talk about with this game. Nobody played. The Titans, they get the number one pick. That's great for them. I'm very curious to see what they do with it, whether they trade out and try to let someone else take a quarterback. Do they take a quarterback? Do they go Travis Hunter? We'll see. Jags, Colts, you were there, Anthony. Anything to write home about this game?
Nothing really.
That's the correct answer. Jonathan Taylor probably won some people some fantasy championships. 34 carries, 177. By the way, speaking of fantasy championships.
He lost me mine, Craig. I needed one more crazy run. Actually, no. There was no chance I was beating Jahmyr Gibbs. He was a fantasy league winner. He went crazy.
So who did you lose to? Who won our league?
Let me get his name real quick.
All right. Well, Anthony looks that up. I'm going to keep rolling. All right. Bills, 16. Patriots, 23. Patriots fire Gerard Mayo today. And I actually loved Robert Kraft's press conference. Robert Kraft said, this is 100% on me. I think that Gerard Mayo can be a head coach in this league, but he wasn't ready yet. I'm the one who put him there. That's 100% my fault. And it's my job now to go find a coach that can get us ready right now. Because Mayo wasn't ready for the job. It was very clear based on some of the reporting out of New England this year, from mismanagement of his team to mismanagement of the press to mismanagement of games. Like, Gerard Mayo was not ready to be an NFL head coach. There is no shame in that. He's a fairly young man. He's only been coaching for like 5 years. And some coaches wait 15 or 20 years before they get their head coaching shot. I think he's dynamic as a leader. He was as a player. There's clearly some good there. He probably learned a lot, but this was the right decision. Also, unrelated, but kind of related. Holy crap, watching Joe Milton is fun. I don't think he'll actually turn into a good NFL quarterback, but give me three Joe Milton games a year as a backup, whether it's in New England or somewhere else, and I'm signing up to watch that because that dude runs around like a crazy person, and his arm is maybe the strongest in the entire league.
I'm probably on the opposite side of where you stand with the Mayo firing. I don't like it. But also, I think I could understand it in terms of what Robert Kraft was saying as far as, you know, he maybe he's not ready, thrust into a terrible situation.
The reporting on some of the stuff that happened in that locker room is just, I mean, it wasn't good. Yeah, like, he's not soft, ready for the job.
Do that. Yeah.
And so yeah. I get it. And, like, let's be honest. This is another black head coach who gets fired after a year who, like, there's been so many stories of guys getting raw deals. And then people still bring up Bieniemy. But, like, what'd you learn about Bieniemy? Like, there's a reason that the dude hadn't been hired. And I think there's a reason that in this particular case, Jerod Mayo gets fired. I think it's terrible that Kraft set him up to do this by putting that language in his contract a bunch of years ago. And maybe he would have a little bit more patience and let him learn a little bit more on the job if Mike Vrabel wasn't sitting right there. But, like, the best thing for the team is to go hire Mike Vrabel. So go hire Mike Vrabel. Like, it's not that hard. And by the way, New England, one of the most attractive job openings because of Drake May. Giants, Eagles. Giants lose. They're 3-14. They will have the number 3 pick, I believe it is, in the draft. And they are going to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Wow. I know they get crushed for the Saquon thing. I don't think that they messed up the Saquon thing. I think they messed up all the stuff around the Saquon thing, which is a bigger deal. The reason that signing Saquon back was stupid for them was because the rest of their roster was bad. Their quarterback situation was bad. And I don't think that letting Daboll and Shane, with who are now 100% on the hot seat going into the year, pick the next quarterback is the right move. Just take the opportunity to start fresh. Why do owners never learn from each other? And in fact, they never even learn from their own mistakes. When you have a chance to hit the reset button all at once, do it. Just blow it up. Get a coach, a quarterback, and a GM on the same timeline and do that. And instead, you have a bunch of teams around the NFL that refuse to do that. And we'll get to another one in just a minute. But Dable's a fine head coach. He's not great. But if you... And Shane, like, I think has made some smart moves, but he also is the guy that, like, drafted Evan Neal and did a bunch of other bad stuff in draft and free agency acquisition and how they use money. So, it's just, to me, it's not enough. But congrats to Tanner McKee on your first career win. Jahan Dotson also, by the way, 7 catches, 94 yards, which is probably doubling his production for the entire season. I would look that up. I don't care enough. Saints, 19. Bucks, 27. Of course, the big story late here is that Mike Evans gets 11 straight years of 1,000 yards. Very, very cool moment. Bucks win the NFC South. They will host the Commanders next week. Darren Rizzi probably gets to at least get interviewed for the long-term job in New Orleans. He had those dudes fighting, but that is a very, very interesting job opening. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. The Chiefs, oh my God, they didn't even try. Broncos, 38-0 as Bo Nix goes 26 for 29, 321, 4 touchdowns, also a 7 carries for 47 yards. Broncos clinch the 7 seed, steamroll into the playoffs. Chargers 34, Raiders 20. Apparently not Antonio Pierce's last game, which, like, I actually like. You know, if you're Mark Davis and you made this decision, Antonio Pierce, you know, you hired him off the interim. Is he the guy that if you shuffled the NFL would be your number one target? No, but I also don't know that you're going to do better. I think giving him 2 years and seeing if he can learn from mistakes is probably worth it, but he's made a ton of mistakes, and boy, he better learn, and we'll see what they do at quarterback sitting there at 4-13 as a place that I'm sure Shador Sanders would love to get to. Seahawks finish 30-25 winners over the Rams, tied on record, but the Rams get the tiebreaker and win the NFC West. Seattle today fires offensive coordinator Ryan Grubbs, who was a kind of an interesting hire. He was working for the University of Washington and got his first pro job as an OC, and Mike McDonald just clearly didn't like that. I think there's a lot of positive stuff to build on for Seattle. The problem is for McDonald is, like, you probably got a year, maybe two left of Geno Smith playing at a pretty high level. Geno got $6 million in incentives yesterday by setting a new career high as a pass or passing yards, broke a touchdown threshold that he needed, and there was one more that got him, I think 10 wins maybe, gets him $6 million, $2 million apiece for all of those bonuses. Rams sat everybody, still made it interesting with Jimmy Garoppolo, who threw for 334 and two touchdowns. Dolphins are going to keep Mike McDaniel despite losing to the Jets. I told you this would happen, Anthony. What's the dumbest possible outcome for the Jets? A win. Cost them mega draft position. Aaron Rodgers finally gets, I mean, he probably had his best game as a Jet. 274, four touchdowns. Thanks for nothing, bro. Please leave, and I hope the door smashes you on the way out.
I mean, I can't even blame Aaron Rodgers. Their defense finally played the defensive game that we've been expecting from them all season. They had like three, four,
five. They were facing Tyler Huntley and a Tyreek Hill who apparently wants out yesterday.
I mean, people fumbling, you can't control that. Jonnu Smith fumbling, like, I can't control it. But, yeah, Tyreek brought that on himself, though, man.
Of course he did. He brought Tyreek Hill's himself. A bad dude.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, that's a bad dude who's done a bunch of bad stuff off the field and has played for a bunch of winning teams. And the second there's any adversity, of course he wants to pack his bags and go, because that's exactly who Tyreek Hill is. That dude sucks. Cardinals, 47. 49ers, 24. Blowout mega fourth quarter for the Cardinals. Kyler and company overcoming a 326-yard day from Josh Dobbs, further proving that Kyle Shanahan can make a quarterback successful from pretty much anywhere. But the defense, that is the big thing for the 49ers this offseason. They fired Steve Wilks after last year, and their defense was trash this year. And then game of the week last night, Lions 31-9 over the Vikings. Man, when we do our tiers tomorrow, Anthony, we can talk more about these teams. But the Vikings' inability to finish so many opportunities in the red zone of the first half shaped the contour of this game. Eventually, the Lions just went nuclear. Jahmyr Gibbs, four total touchdowns. Congrats to the Lions on another incredible season. 15-2 after a 13-4, I believe it was, season last year. They just keep getting better. Vikings will be on the road at Minnesota, or sorry, at LA to open wild card weekend, or to open the playoffs for them. They're hoping, of course, to make a run where they would potentially face the Lions again in 2 weeks, but not if the Commanders have anything to say about it. That is our look around the NFL. Anthony, how did we do on the records real quick? Because we are way over time.
We both went 12-5 again, so you'll finish five games ahead of me yet again.
Thank you. Thank you. That's another regular season title. I've also two-time defending playoff champion, so we'll see. We'll see how the picks go on Friday for Wild Card Weekend. Anthony trying to win something, but he might. Hey, he's got a two-game winning streak and counting on Competition Wednesday, so next check-in on some picks will be then. When we get back, our pick six at six as we wrap up the show on a victory Monday, taking a look at the Commanders win over the Cowboys and some key players that we identified Friday that really did help decide the game. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Time to go around the NFL. We will breeze through the games for the most part, because most of the games yesterday were not really that important or interesting. I mean, some of them were like, actually, like the Carolina Atlanta game was actually a great game. And there's some like long-term significance there, as Bryce Young just continues to show that, you know, he may not have been dead after all. In fact, I think we very much know that he's not dead, or wasn't dead as an NFL quarterback when he got benched earlier this season for Andy Dalton. But there's no actual playoff implications, and neither coach is losing his job or anything like that. So some of these games, we'll just kind of hit a few final thoughts for the season. Some of these we'll maybe spend a little more time on because the game was important, something interesting happened, or the team is either going in a playoff or fired their coach or a head coach or maybe didn't, and that's a surprise direction. But we're going to kind of get, I guess, Anthony, the point is we're going to give our final thoughts on every team for the regular season. Along the way, we will use the game as a vehicle to do that. We will also compile all of our final regular season records. I was five games up on Anthony on the picks going into the weekend. And with that, around the NFL we go. Ravens, started off the weekend with a big win, 35-10. Not only did they beat the Browns, they covered the highest spread in the NFL all season. It got up to 21 points in some places. I think it was 19.5 at kickoff. Won by a cool 25. Obviously, Baltimore is headed to the playoffs. Moment of this game, a defensive tackle, Michael Pierce, with the game-sealing interception, and then immediately went down because he didn't want to become a meme for Leon Lett situation, big guy running and either running out of gas or getting the ball stripped out. Genuinely hilarious. But Lamar, cool, 16 of 32, 217, two touchdowns. Derrick Henry, 138, two touchdowns. The Browns started Bailey Zappe because sure. And then we find out today from their general manager, Andrew Berry, that Deshaun Watson had a setback recovering from his Achilles situation already. So who knows what that means. The Browns finished with the number two pick. They're a nightmare. Stefanski, I guess, is probably going to keep his job, which I hate that for him because he's a better coach than the Browns. Andrew Berry, I don't even think, is a bad GM. Like, their front office is filled with guys that are going to get and women who are going to get GM looks other places because I think there's a lot of respect there. But the Browns' problem is simple. You can't outrun bad ownership. Their ownership is terrible. And thus, here we are at the end of another lost season where Cleveland Browns fans mostly deserve better.
Yeah, did you also hear what Myles Garrett said?
Oh, he wants out.
Yeah, he sort of kind of wants out too. And Craig, he would look good in some burgundy and gold, baby.
I would give up more than I should for Myles Garrett on this team.
Would you want Myles Garrett more or Micah Parsons?
Micah.
Ooh.
Just purely on age.
Okay, that's fair.
And familiarity. Like Dan Quinn and Joe Witt know Micah. Mm. Myles Garrett, I don't think there's anything bad to know about. Like, Myles is considered, freak. I mean, outside of the Mason Rudolph incident, very, very well respected. And frankly, some people I think like him for the Mason Rudolph incident, which we don't need to go any deeper into that. But I think great teammate, been a model citizen in Cleveland, in terms of how he's handled being a part of that trash organization. They should trade him. Because there's no way, there's no timeline where he is at the peak of his powers and worth what he is right now that matches them winning. Just take the draft picks and say you lost and you messed up in the same way that you screwed up Joe Thomas's career and any other Browns player that's been good since the franchise kicked off again. As for the Ravens, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the playoffs. We'll have plenty more time to talk about them. The Bengals, 19-17 winners. Joe Burrow, again, just finding ways, doing things. Steelers, again, finding ways, doing things to not win down the stretch here. Bengals wind up missing the playoffs. They fired their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, today, which I don't love, but I understand. I mean, defensively, they were not good this year. It's the reason they're not in the playoffs. But, you know, Anarumo's a good coach. Do you really think that you're going to find someone better? This feels like a dude who's getting fired because the owner was like, I'm not firing my head coach. You better make some changes or I'm going to change you. And Zach Taylor was like, okay. Hey, Lou, sorry. I just, it is what it is. Now the Bengals enter a fascinating offseason where they have to make first they have to re-sign Ja'Marr Chase, which is now going to be more expensive than it would have been before the season because he can make a legitimate claim that he should get more money than Justin Jefferson because he just won the Triple Crown. Two, they have to decide if they want to also keep T. Higgins, and which means you'd have an insane amount of money, cap percentage-wise, tied up in two receivers and your quarterback. And then you have to figure out if you can do all the other stuff you need to with your roster when you haven't been very good at drafting and your quarterback is going to always keep you good enough to not have a top 10 pick. So it's a tough call. I don't know what to do because I also wouldn't want to. Here's the thing I would say, Anthony. I would not want to piss off Joe Burrow.
I mean, I won't want to piss him off either. But it is I will say this, though. If the Eagles are able to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on relatively big contracts, I think you should try to, make it work.
But here's the thing. The Eagles were smart with it.
Yeah, they
paid those guys early.
Yep.
Paying early is always
better.
I want to say always, because I'm sure there's guys that don't get contracts that you're like, oh, thank God we didn't pay that guy early. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are not those guys. Joe Burrow, not that guy. Like, I would have paid Joe Burrow the absolute highest paid quarterback contract the second he was, the second he was eligible. Why? Because when the next guy signs and the next guy signs, the number just goes up. And the same thing for Jamar and same thing for T. They were really smart and signed Devontae early, but they're more cash poor in Cincinnati than they are in Philly. And that has allowed Howie Roseman to manage the cap in a very, very proactive way. And the Bengals never do that. The Cowboys are the same way. The Bengals just do the same dumb thing the Cowboys have done with Dak, where they wound up paying him like $15 million more per year after a bad ankle injury. And they did the same thing with CD, and they're doing the same thing right now with Micah, because Jerry. And Jerry George, I bought the occupation. I'm not going to be not the general manager of this team. Then, Jerry, you might want to learn how to do some math, bro. Whatever. Panthers and Falcons. There's not a lot to say about this. This was kind of the joke of the game that we used to say that there's not much to say about some of these games. Hell of a football game. Congrats to Carolina. They never gave up on the season. I think that you have to, if you're a Panthers fan, feel pretty good going into this offseason with where Bryce Young is at. Canales showed some things. There was definitely some questions about him. But he seems to be one of these quarterback whisperers, and good on him, man. For the Falcons, they have got to get some pass rush. They have got to fix some things defensively. But I think you also probably are a little encouraged, and not a little, you're a lot encouraged by what you have in Michael Penix. You're going to have to see if you can trade Cousins this offseason, if Kirk even wants to keep playing. We'll see how he feels coming out of the offseason or coming out of the season. But definitely a very interesting thing. Or he might just be like, you want to know what? I'm going to take my money and I'll be the backup here. I'm going to help Michael as best I can. And maybe Kirk just moves into that phase of his career. But I definitely think if you're Atlanta, you try to trade Cousins, eat whatever the cap hit is for that, and then see if at least you can redeem some draft picks. So we'll see. You have teams like the Browns who are going to be desperate. How many quarterbacks with bad Achilles can we bring into one room? Because they've also been rumored for Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I heard that one on Get Up today. Like, I think Cleveland should be looking at Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, man, that's a match made in not heaven. But yeah, I think the future is bright for both these teams in a variety of ways. But also, we'll see. Now's the hard part. Can you go from, in Atlanta's case, good to great? And from Carolina's stance, from plucky to like really actually dangerous. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll roll through the rest of these games. Anthony, by the way, how did we do on those three? Browns, Ravens we won. Bengals we won.
You went 2-1. I went 1-2.
Okay, because I took Carolina?
No.
No, I took Cincinnati. You took Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I took the Steelers, yep.
All right, and so Anthony needs six games of the final whatever number. I don't think he's going to get it, but stay tuned for more. Anthony, let's ixnay ending tray, and we'll be right back with more thoughts on the end of the regular season for much of the NFL, but not the Commanders. Next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980, going around the NFL. And let's pick things up with the Bears and Packers, a wild, wacky, stupid football game that made the ending of the Commanders game less meaningful in the long run, because had Terry McLaurin dropped the ball or had they kicked the field goal and gone to overtime and lost, they still would be the sixth seed, because the Packers, who just needed to beat the 10-game losing streak riding Chicago Bears, a team that they had beaten, I believe it was 11 straight times, and the Bears won the football game. The Packers got a weird gift. Both in the form of Caleb Williams taking an RPO that should never have been an RPO and throwing it to DJ Moore on a screen. It's the kind of thing that I would do in Madden, which I don't mean as a compliment. It makes me reexamine at the end of a Madden game, I'm just stats accumulating. But this is real life. Run the football. And DJ Moore gets hit. It should have been an incompletion. Instead, they call it a fumble. Packers get it, go down. They manage the clock terribly, give the ball back to Chicago. Chicago winds up taking advantage, hitting a game-winning field goal. Just Packers fans, at least they can rest easy with the idea that that did not cost them the sixth seed because Mariota and McLaurin did what they did. That's about all they got going for them.
Yeah, I was watching the end of this game, too. We were actually watching the games side by side because my best friend, he's a Packers fan as well. We're at the Colts game watching the Commanders and Packers game.
That's
and I'm like, how much time is left? He's like, it's 36 seconds. I'm like, how much time left is over here? It's 6 seconds left. I'm like, oh, okay. It was crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure the witching hour was probably crazy as hell yesterday. Crazy.
Oh, it was. It was. And I had that on the iPad sitting next to me with the Commanders on the big screen TV. And like, and it sucked because the red zone was actually ahead of the Commanders TV. Oh. So I looked over and I was like, ooh, that's good. Oh, that's bad. That's good. That's bad. Wait, which game am I? It was nuts. As for Chicago, I think tomorrow, maybe, Anthony, we should rank all the head coach openings. I'll tell you right now, Chicago's going to be pretty high on my list because of some other stuff with some of these other jobs. But they head into their offseason with a win, which is good for whatever. 5-12 in Caleb Williams' rookie year. That's, by the way, also their first road win of the year in Week 18. Texans 23, Titans 14. There's literally nothing to talk about with this game. Nobody played. The Titans, they get the number one pick. That's great for them. I'm very curious to see what they do with it, whether they trade out and try to let someone else take a quarterback. Do they take a quarterback? Do they go Travis Hunter? We'll see. Jags, Colts, you were there, Anthony. Anything to write home about this game?
Nothing really.
That's the correct answer. Jonathan Taylor probably won some people some fantasy championships. 34 carries, 177. By the way, speaking of fantasy championships.
He lost me mine, Craig. I needed one more crazy run. Actually, no. There was no chance I was beating Jahmyr Gibbs. He was a fantasy league winner. He went crazy.
So who did you lose to? Who won our league?
Let me get his name real quick.
All right. Well, Anthony looks that up. I'm going to keep rolling. All right. Bills, 16. Patriots, 23. Patriots fire Gerard Mayo today. And I actually loved Robert Kraft's press conference. Robert Kraft said, this is 100% on me. I think that Gerard Mayo can be a head coach in this league, but he wasn't ready yet. I'm the one who put him there. That's 100% my fault. And it's my job now to go find a coach that can get us ready right now. Cause Mayo wasn't ready for the job. It was very clear based on some of the reporting out of New England this year, from mismanagement of his team to mismanagement of the press to mismanagement of games. Like, Gerard Mayo was not ready to be an NFL head coach. There is no shame in that. He was a fairly young man. He's only been coaching for like 5 years, and some coaches wait 15 or 20 years before they get their head coaching shot. I think he's dynamic as a leader. He was as a player. There's clearly some good there. He probably learned a lot, but this was the right decision. Also, unrelated, but kind of related, holy crap, watching Joe Milton is fun. I don't think he'll actually turn into a good NFL quarterback, but give me 3 Joe Milton games a year as a backup, whether it's in New England or somewhere else, and I'm signing up to watch that because that dude runs around like a crazy person, and his arm is maybe the strongest in the entire league.
I'm probably on the opposite side of where you stand with the Mayo firing. I don't like it. But also, I think I could understand it in terms of what Robert Kraft was saying as far as, you know, he maybe he's not ready, thrust into a terrible situation.
The reporting on some of the stuff that happened in that locker room is just, I mean, it wasn't good. Yeah, like, he's not soft, ready for the job.
Do that. Yeah.
And so I get it. And, like, let's be honest, this is another black head coach who gets fired after a year who, like, there's been so many stories of guys getting raw deals. And then people still bring up Bieniemy, but like, what'd you learn about Bieniemy? Like, there's a reason that the dude hadn't been hired. And I think there's a reason that in this particular case, Gerard Mayo gets fired. I think it's terrible that Kraft set him up to do this, by putting that language in his contract a bunch of years ago. And maybe he would have a little bit more patience and let him learn a little bit more on the job if Mike Vrabel wasn't sitting right there. But like, the best thing for the team is to go hire Mike Vrabel. So go hire Mike Vrabel. Like, it's not that hard. And by the way, New England, one of the most attractive job openings because of Drake May. Giants, Eagles, Giants lose. They're 3-14. They will have the number 3 pick, I believe it is, in the draft. And they are going to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Wow. I know they get crushed for the Saquon thing. I don't think that they messed up the Saquon thing. I think they messed up all the stuff around the Saquon thing, which is a bigger deal. The reason that signing Saquon back was stupid for them was because the rest of their roster was bad. Their quarterback situation was bad. And I don't think that letting Dable and Shane, with who are now 100% on the hot seat going into the year, pick the next quarterback is the right move. Just take the opportunity to start fresh. Why do owners never learn from each other? And in fact, they never even learn from their own mistakes. When you have a chance to hit the reset button all at once, do it. Just blow it up. Get a coach, a quarterback, and a GM on the same timeline and do that. And instead, you have a bunch of teams around the NFL that refuse to do that. And we'll get to another one in just a minute. But Dable's a fine head coach. He's not great. But if you... And Shane, like, I think has made some smart moves, but he also is the guy that, like, drafted Evan Neal and did a bunch of other bad stuff in draft and free agency acquisition and how they use money. So, it's just, to me, it's not enough. But congrats to Tanner McKee on your first career win. Jahan Dotson also, by the way, 7 catches, 94 yards, which is probably doubling his production for the entire season. I would look that up. I don't care enough. Saints, 19. Bucks, 27. Of course, the big story late here is that Mike Evans gets 11 straight years of 1,000 yards. Very, very cool moment. Bucks win the NFC South. They will host the Commanders next week. Darren Rizzi probably gets to at least get interviewed for the long-term job in New Orleans. He had those dudes fighting, but that is a very, very interesting job opening. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. The Chiefs, oh my God, they didn't even try. Broncos, 38-0 as Bo Nix goes 26 for 29, 321, 4 touchdowns, also a 7 carries for 47 yards. Broncos clinch the 7 seed, steamroll into the playoffs. Chargers 34, Raiders 20. Apparently not Antonio Pierce's last game, which, like, I actually like. You know, if you're Mark Davis and you made this decision, Antonio Pierce, you know, you hired him off the interim. Is he the guy that if you shuffled the NFL would be your number one target? No, but I also don't know that you're going to do better. I think giving him 2 years and seeing if he can learn from mistakes is probably worth it, but he's made a ton of mistakes, and boy, he better learn, and we'll see what they do at quarterback sitting there at 4-13 as a place that I'm sure Shador Sanders would love to get to. Seahawks finish 30-25 winners over the Rams, tied on record, but the Rams get the tiebreaker and win the NFC West. Seattle today fires offensive coordinator Ryan Grubbs, who was a kind of an interesting hire. He was working for the University of Washington and got his first pro job as an OC, and Mike McDonald just clearly didn't like that. I think there's a lot of positive stuff to build on for Seattle. The problem is for McDonald is, like, you probably got a year, maybe two left of Geno Smith playing at a pretty high level. Geno got $6 million in incentives yesterday by setting a new career high as a pass or passing yards, broke a touchdown threshold that he needed. And there was one more that got him, I think 10 wins maybe, gets him $6 million, $2 million apiece for all of those bonuses. Rams sat everybody, still made it interesting with Jimmy Garoppolo, who threw for 334 and 2 touchdowns. Dolphins are going to keep Mike McDaniel despite losing to the Jets. I told you this would happen, Anthony. What's the dumbest possible outcome for the Jets? A win. Cost them mega draft position. Aaron Rodgers finally gets, I mean, he probably had his best game as a Jet. 274, 4 touchdowns. Thanks for nothing, bro. Please leave, and I hope the door smashes you on the way out.
I mean, I can't even blame Aaron Rodgers. Their defense finally played the defensive game that we've been expecting from them all season. They had like 3, 4, 5.
They were facing Tyler Huntley and a Tyreek Hill who apparently wants out yesterday.
I mean, people fumbling. You can't control that. Jonnu Smith fumbling. Like, I can't control it. But, yeah, Tyreek brought that on himself, though, man.
Of course he did. He brought Tyreek Hill's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, that's a bad dude who's done a bunch of bad stuff off the field and has played for a bunch of winning teams. And the second there's any adversity, of course he wants to pack his bags and go, because that's exactly who Tyreek Hill is. That dude sucks. Cardinals, 47. 49ers, 24. Blowout mega fourth quarter for the Cardinals. Kyler and company overcoming a 326-yard day from Josh Dobbs, further proving that Kyle Shanahan can make a quarterback successful from pretty much anywhere. But the defense, that is the big thing for the 49ers this offseason. They fired Steve Wilks after last year, and their defense was trash this year. And then game of the week last night, Lions 31-9 over the Vikings. Man, when we do our tiers tomorrow, Anthony, we can talk more about these teams. But the Vikings' inability to finish so many opportunities in the red zone in the first half shaped the contour of this game. Eventually, the Lions just went nuclear. Jahmyr Gibbs, 4 total touchdowns. Congrats to the Lions on another incredible season. 15-2 after a 13-4, I believe it was, season last year. They just keep getting better. Vikings will be on the road at LA to open wild card weekend, or to open the playoffs for them. They're hoping, of course, to make a run where they would potentially face the Lions again in 2 weeks, but not if the Commanders have anything to say about it. That is our look around the NFL. Anthony, how did we do on the records real quick? Because we are way over time.
We both went 12-5 again, so you'll finish 5 games ahead of me yet again.
Thank you. Thank you. That's another regular season title. I've also 2-time defending playoff champion, so we'll see. We'll see how the picks go on Friday for Wild Card Weekend. Anthony trying to win something, but he might. Hey, he's got a 2-game winning streak and counting on Competition Wednesday. So next check in on some picks will be then. When we get back, our pick 6 at 6 as we wrap up the show on a victory Monday, taking a look at the Commanders win over the Cowboys and some key players that we identified Friday that really did help decide the game.